Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Misawa Sermon Podcast. NCM is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Misawa. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.
So this morning, we continue our upside-down series, looking at the Beatitudes that Jesus shared and his what we know and what we call is the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes are blessed statements. Nine times in this passage, Jesus said, blessed are those whom, and began to tell different things, different ways that people are blessed. And the blessed is, it means not only blessed, but it means also happy are those, not a happiness that's based off of what we've done or a happiness based off of circumstances, but more like a joy that comes from the Lord. And so when Jesus said this, it was blessed or happy are those whom, and the first one are those who are poor in spirit. Happy or blessed are those who recognize their deep need for Jesus. Happy or blessed are those who mourn over their own sins and the sins of others. The third one was blessed or happy are those who are meek, who are humble, who are gentle, who are teachable. Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Now you notice none of these things, none of these things that are blessed or happy are things that the world tells you to pursue. The world doesn't say you come in meekness and gentleness and with a teachable heart. The world says you know everything. You don't need anybody. You are the boss, right? And so the world tells us to live that certain way, but Jesus said that's not how I've called you to live. I've called you to turn away from the upside down world and come and follow me. And so today we're going to be looking at the next beatitude, and we're going to read in Matthew chapter 5. Beginning in verse 3, as they build upon each other, and we're going to go down to verse 7. So Matthew 5, 3 through 7. Scripture says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And the one that we're going to be looking at today, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Father, we thank you for your word, that it is timeless, and your scripture says that it is useful for teaching and training and correcting, and a life filled with your righteousness. Be with us today as we dig into your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So verse says, 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. But what is mercy? Did anyone ever play the game when you were a kid? I don't know if this is like an old person game. Only the old people are saying yes, so maybe. there's a game. It's called Mercy. Have you all played it? Okay, I'm totally going to introduce it to you, although I'm not going to play. I should make a couple of these old men up here. Play it. So mercy went this way. And I've seen it a couple of different ways, but most of the time it was where like this arm wrestle. Sometimes it was taking the skin and twisting it. And yes, just like that. And so I had a friend who had an older brother and a younger brother who loved playing this game with me and my friend. And we were dumb enough to play it each time, thinking that we were going to get the older brother, because we're dumb. We were thinking that we were going to get the older brother and we weren't going to have to say mercy. We were going to be strong enough to stand up against it. What happened every single time? Mercy, 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 right? That's basically how it went, as our arm was being twisted and contorted and in agony over the pain. That's not the mercy that Jesus was talking about. Praise God for that. That's not the mercy that he was speaking to. It was not a mercy that first causes the pain and then, don't play it right now. That's not the mercy that causes pain and then out of great mercifulness says, never mind, I'm not going to cause you pain anymore. That's not the mercy Jesus was speaking of. Praise God for that. So then what is mercy? Mercy in Greek, there are a couple of words that are used for mercy. One of them is the word that means more of a sympathy. more of kind of like a stance of pity, feeling sorry for someone. That's not the word that Jesus used in this. He didn't say, feel sorry for someone because someone is going to feel sorry for you. That's not what he was saying. It went much deeper than that. It went deeper into more like a picture. It was a picture of putting on a garment, kind of putting something over. As you look at someone else's and you put on skin, you step into their situation. You don't just feel sorry for them. You begin to feel with them. It combined this action. And if you remember, I've said throughout this, or maybe previously, that while the New Testament was written in Greek, the language of that day was Aramaic, which was very similar to Hebrew, which is what the Old Testament was written in. And in Hebrew, there is not mercy does not translate well. It's not like it translates from one word to a next. Sometimes if you've ever, if you are bilingual or trilingual or extra, extra smart and know, what is it, quadrilingual? See, I'm just making up words now because English is hard. And so if you are bilingual and you go back and forth in different languages and you're having to translate for someone, sometimes there's just words that don't match in the opposite language. When we travel around and raise funds in the States, a bulk of our time is spent in Spanish-speaking churches. And so if Wilman is not preaching, he is translating for me, from me speaking in English, obviously, into Spanish. And there's times when I'll say a word and he has to think, because there's not a word that's just for that. It's more of a thought that carries over. And what is a one word for me is like five sentences for him as he tries to communicate what I'm saying. The same thing is true for the Hebrew word for mercy. It goes past, as I said, it goes past only seeing and having sympathy, and it places an action upon that that sympathy and that heart for someone else. The best picture for it is Jesus. Jesus, being God himself, left heaven and came and put on this skin, came and put on what we experience, came and experienced betrayal, came and experienced hurt, came and experienced pain, came and experienced hunger and thirst, came and experienced exhaustion. You know what it was like to be exhausted from serving, exhausted from walking. When you are doing PT, Jesus knows what it feels like because he had to walk all the way through the desert. He knew what it was like to be on his feet a lot. And so he understood because he put on this flesh and became one of us. And out of that, he brought salvation to us. Out of that, he was able to die for our sins. He didn't sin while he put on this flesh. He didn't sin, but he did carry our sins. He took it to the cross and brought us salvation through that. That is the picture of mercy. Jesus did not have to come and wear this skin. Jesus did not have to come and experience betrayal. Jesus did not have to come and experience hunger and pain and hurt and joy and love and all of those things. He didn't have to come, but because he had great mercy, he chose to. See, mercy didn't give us what we deserved. Guys, our sins deserve nothing but punishment. At least for me, I don't know about you, but scripture definitely says that our sins, the penalty for sin is death. Our sins separate us from God. Our mess separates us from the Father. And the one thing that we do deserve is punishment. The one thing we do deserve is to be pushed out. The one thing that we do deserve is not to have life. But praise God for mercy. Mercy wrapped itself in Jesus, came and lived and died and resurrected so that we could have salvation. That is the picture of mercy that God offers for us, that Jesus offers for us as we come to him. He didn't give us what we deserved, but praise God, he offered and still offers mercy. In fact, scripture says that his mercies are new every single morning. I'm thankful that I don't have to operate off of yesterday's mercies because I used them all. I'm thankful that I don't have to work off of Wednesdays. I don't have to work off of next Fridays. It's not like a payment system like, oh, you used all your coupons for today. Better start working into next week. No, every single day, his mercies are new for us because he knows that we need it. Praise God for that. But see, he doesn't want to just offer us mercy and for us to receive it. He then wants us to give out mercy to others. We're not called to hang on to mercy just to ourselves, but we're called to then share and spread that mercy to others. One time, because mercy is not an easy thing, just in case you didn't know, mercy is not an easy thing to live out. It is not easy to forgive when we don't want to forgive. It's not easy to show mercy when we want to do everything but show mercy. And so this is not a new issue. It's not a new problem. In fact, Peter came to Jesus one time when Jesus was sitting there talking with the disciples and teaching. And we see Peter's question in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And so we could look at this and we're like, man, Peter was cocky. Like, really? That's what you're going to go up to Jesus? Like, just 7 times, right, God? That's all I got to do. But what you have to understand is that the teaching during this time by the rabbis and by the Jews was that you only had to forgive someone 3 times. So someone came and did something to you the first time, you forgave them. They came and did something to you a second time, you forgave them. They came to you a third time, you forgive them. But that fourth time stinks to be you. No more forgiveness. That's what the teaching was. So when Peter said, Jesus, I mean, I think he thought he was being gracious. Jesus, I know that they teach 3 times, but here's what I'm going to say. I'm saying that we should do 7. That's going to be cool with you, right, Jesus? And what does Jesus do in every single situation that we see him in? What does he do with our own lives when we come to him? And we're like, this is good enough, right, Jesus? And Jesus is like, let me turn it upside down for you and tell you what I really want you to live in. And we see Jesus' response in verse 22. Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Some versions say 70 times 7. Now, Jesus wasn't giving us a math formula. It wasn't like algebra he was busting out in the middle of his lesson. Praise God for that. He wasn't giving us a math formula so that we could then like, all right, well, I'm on time number 75 of forgiving you, and you have 2 more after that. Forget it. Forgiveness is out. Jesus wasn't doing that. He wasn't coming up with some kind of math formula for us to keep tabs on. 76, 77. All right, we're done. Good. Let's move on to the next person. No, Jesus was saying, here's the heart of it, is that forgiveness, just like the forgiveness he gives us, needs to be limitless. That's hard, right? I mean, I think we could all like just take a deep breath and go, oh, that's painful. Because that's not what our bodies want to do. That's not what our flesh wants to do. It's not what our minds want to do. Our minds want to stick with what the rabbis said and maybe make it to 3 because that's challenging sometimes. But Jesus said, no. Let me tell you, I'm going to turn it upside down, just like he did with the Beatitudes, and challenge you that forgiveness and mercy is called, we're called to live it limitless. And it's not easy. And so then Jesus goes on and begins to tell this parable. And the parable that we know of is the unmerciful servant. Now, what Jesus used in it was a king and a servant who owed talents. Now, I don't know about you. We don't use talents for paying anything. I mean, we have talents, but we don't have gold coins. We don't have bags of gold coins. And if you do, wow, that's amazing. And so I'll take some if you want to share. But we don't operate in that kind of money. So what I sat down and I did the math stuff and figured out what it would look like for us. So we're going to switch this parable up just a little bit. I'm not taking the word of God and twisting it. I'm just making it a little bit more applicable for us. And so there was this guy, Jesus said, that he owed this enormous amount of money. And it was to the amount of what would be for us is $5 billion, like 90s, right? That's 90s behind it. $5 billion. Have you ever seen $5 billion? Like, that's just a lot of zeros. This guy owned what was the amount of $5 billion. And the king, whom we're going to call the IRS, came and wanted their money back, right? You owe $5 billion. The IRS said you need to pay it back now. The guy's like, I don't have it. Like, I don't have it right now. I checked on my pockets. I don't have $5 billion. I don't got it. The IRS said, well, that's fine. I'm going to take your house. I'm going to auction your house. We're going to auction your cars and your family. We're going to spread them out around the country. We're going to give them jobs, and they're going to have to work to pay back what you owe. The guy drops to his knees in front of the king there, and for us, in front of the IRS. He drops to his knees and says, please be patient with me. Please give me time. I will repay every single cent. Now, it just already sounds crazy because it's $5 billion. Like, what kind of lifetime and what kind of job are you going to get that's going to pay back $5 billion? So it was already crazy. But he pulls himself to his knees and begins to beg for mercy. Please be patient with me. Please have mercy for me. Please, please, please. I will do everything I can to pay this back. And just so that it makes sense to us, the IRS then says, I'm going to forgive all of that $5 billion that you own and go out with a fresh start. See, it doesn't make sense, right? Because the IRS would never do that. They'd be like, $5 billion with interest for however many years, right? There would be no sense for the IRS to say, yes, I'm going to forgive that $5 billion and you go out and have a fresh start. Start a new life. God bless you and go on your way. It just doesn't make sense. But then if you begin to put it in terms of Jesus and what he's done for us, $5 billion, 5 billion sins in our lives, it begins to make sense. And so this man who was before the king, or for us, before the IRS, has all of his debts forgiven. And excitedly, like anybody else would be, he runs out joyful and excited that he has this fresh start. And whom does he see on his way out? This dude that owes him $800. Two zeros. Not nine, two, $800. And the guy in that moment forgets that he just had a debt forgiven for $5 billion, runs up to him, grabs him by the neck, begins to choke him and say, you will pay back the $800 you owe me. Well, the guy obviously is like, no, no, please, 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 please be patient with me. I will pay back everything I owe you. And in that moment, the guy had an option to show mercy like he had just received, but instead he didn't. He had the guy hauled away into jail for defaulting on his payment and defaulting on the loan that he had. Well, wind got back to the IRS, aka the king. Wind got back to him and they pulled this guy back in and said, what in the world? You had $5 billion that you owed. I forgave your debt. And you go out there looking for $800 from someone else. You didn't show mercy when you had received mercy. And here's how Jesus responds. The rest of the story goes like this. Matthew 18, verses 32 through 35. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged to me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Then Jesus closes it up with this. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Can I just read that again? You need to close your eyes so that you can hear it. That's our Lord, let's hear it today. May we hear this today. Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Changes everything up, right? Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will receive mercy. That's how the Father will treat us. If we don't extend mercy, he won't extend mercy to us. It's not a suggestion. It's not like if you have time today to show mercy. If you're having a good day, show mercy. If everything's going your way, show mercy. If everybody treats you well, show mercy. No, mercy is shown when you don't deserve it. Mercy isn't given when you're doing everything right. Mercy is given when, man, you have jacked it all up. That's when mercy is given to us. And sometimes I think we struggle with mercy and forgiveness because we haven't chosen the other Beatitudes. We haven't chosen to live a life in meekness and humility and gentleness. Pride rises up with it. And guys, I am not saying this because I see it in others. I'm saying it because I see it in myself. Pride rises up in our hearts. And instead of showing mercy, like, how dare you, you little person? That's what happens because pride gets in the way of us showing mercy. We often rehearse the stuff over and over and over in our minds. And so because of the hurt, guys, the hurts are legit. Jesus wasn't saying in giving us mercy, he didn't say that our sins aren't real. He didn't say that the stuff we did isn't real. And in the same thing in showing mercy, he's not saying, well, what has happened isn't real. It's not legit. There's not a real hurt. He's saying, in spite of that or despite that, show mercy. And because of the things that we have walked through, sometimes the hurt and the pain that we have experienced, it begins to, we ruminate on it. We dwell on it. We rehearse it. I don't know, maybe it's just me. We rehearse it in our minds. We rehearse the event. We rehearse the situation. We rehearse what was said. We rehearse what was done. And before you know it, man, our minds are consumed and we can't see at all. We're so blinded that we couldn't show mercy if we wanted to. Because the only thing we can see is what we've experienced. And the only thing we can hear are the pain and the things that were said to us and the things that we felt. Sometimes because of what we've walked through, we then go and talk to someone else about it. We want them to come along in our pain. And I'm not saying we can't have a safe place where we share things with people. That's not what I'm talking about. But in our hurt, in our frustration, instead of in the moments of showing mercy or going to the Father, we go to others and we're like, did you hear? Let me tell you what they said. Let me tell you what they did to me. Did you hear what happened and what happens? Then you not only get yourself balled up in frustration, you bring the person that you're talking to along with it. And now they're all frustrated and they're upset and they can't see to have mercy either in their lives. Before you know it, we're consumed with a hurt that we're blinded to mercy and to the other person. That man that Jesus spoke of in his parable and the unmerciful servant, he had such a huge debt. There was no way. $5 billion. It's an impossible situation. It is suffocating to have a small debt, but $5 billion was the amount of his debt. There was no way he was going to be able to do it. And the king in the parable had every right to take everything that the man owned, to force the man to work off that payment, to force the man to work off that debt. He had every right to even throw him in jail. But what did he do in that moment? He extended mercy when it wasn't deserved. Guys, our sins are too big for us to make it right. Our sins are too big for us to be able to work ourselves into being good, to work ourselves into salvation. Our sins are too big that we can't change them. Oh my goodness, have you ever tried to change a sin and make it good? It is exhausting. You ever tried to walk out of a trap or an addiction or whatever it may be and make a change? Oh, it's hard. If it's not for the grace and the mercy of the Father, if it's not for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, if it's not for the Holy Spirit changing our lives, we end up trapped with a $5 billion debt that we can't get out of and that we've tried. But what happens is that debt piles up more and more and more. Before you know it, it's $8 billion and now we're suffocating and we don't know what to do. Mercy walks us out of that and walks us into freedom. Yet often, the moment the Father forgives us of something, we're quick to be unmerciful to someone else. It's hard. Mercy requires intentionality. As I said before, mercy is not a human nature. If it is for you, then I want to hang out with you even more and be more like you. Mercy is not something that comes from our human nature. It has to be something we intentionally choose. Our human nature wants revenge. Our human nature wants to get back. Our human nature wants to say all the things, not one thing left unsaid. Our human nature wants someone else to feel as bad as we feel. You hurt me, I'm gonna hurt you worse, so you know exactly how I feel. That's what our human nature wants. Our human nature wants others to know what someone else has done to us and make them hate them just as much as us. That's our human nature. At least it's my human nature. I'm just going to be honest. But I think that's just human nature because we see it throughout Scripture. And if we're really honest, it's something we all struggle with. Our human nature wants a throat punch, not to grab someone and hug them and show them mercy. That's our human nature. But Jesus didn't say, go with your human nature. Blessed are those whoever, whenever you're feeling good, you find some mercy, because maybe I'll find you some mercy. That's not what it says. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will receive mercy. Mercy will not come from our human nature, but I promise you, because Jesus says it throughout Scripture, mercy is possible through his nature. His nature being infused into us. And how does that happen? I know you've not heard me say this at all. It comes through getting into the Word of God, learning what he says, learning who he is, learning who he's called you to be, putting this word so deep down that in the moment when you want to throat punch someone, this scripture reminds, blessed are those who are merciful, for they receive mercy. And that the Holy Spirit brings that scripture to the forefront of your mind. And in that moment, you drop every single guard that you have. That's what it means to understand and know, put on his nature. His nature is applied through spending time in prayer. His nature is applied through being sharpening through each other, through allowing us to sharpen each other, through allowing us to encourage each other. That's where mercy will be applied. Guys, mercy requires intentionally bathing a situation in prayer. Intentionally. Guys, there will be times you're going to be hurt. People are going to do something that's either rude, they're going to say something, they're going to say something hurtful to you. And our first response doesn't need to be to respond, but it needs to go to the Father. And we can be honest with him. Guys, you don't have to hide how you're feeling. You don't have to hide what you're thinking and what you're experiencing, because you know what? The Father already knows. Why hide? You can go to him in honesty and say, oh gosh, God, this hurts really bad. And I don't know what to do. And I don't know what to say, but I need to figure out how. God, would you show me how to respond in mercy? Because here's a little tip. If you don't know how to respond to a situation in mercy, then don't respond. If that means you put something off until you have a right heart and a right mind, then you put it off. There's been times where I've had to put off meetings or addressing situations because my heart was not in a good place. And if I addressed it or said something about it in that moment, I was going to jack it all up. But when we then go to the Father and begin to bathe it in prayer, Father, I need your heart. God, I need your heart. Show me how I can show mercy in this moment. Show me what needs to be said and what doesn't need to be said. Show me, God, how to love them. Show me, Father, how to forgive, because I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how to let this go, God. I don't know how to make it better. But Father, I trust that you do. And you continue to bathe it in prayer. You continue to go to the Father. Continue to get in the Word of God. And I promise you, it's not like all that stuff is going to be erased. Oh, I only wish it was that good. One day we'll stand before the Father and we won't think of any of that. But until then, it takes us intentionally allowing the Word of God to transform our minds. Intentionally praying for that person, for the situation, and intentionally choosing mercy. Intentionally choosing mercy. God wants us to operate in mercy. He wants us to walk in mercy and forgiveness. And why? Because he said that those who give mercy will receive mercy. He said that those who forgive will be forgiven. And the opposite is true as well, that those who don't show mercy will not be shown mercy. And it's not that you give mercy to someone and they're suddenly going to give mercy back to you. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was saying that the mercy you'll receive comes from the Father. That's the mercy that we seek. That's the mercy that we go after, because sometimes having and showing mercy and choosing to forgive doesn't mean that the other person's heart is going to be changed. But it's our heart that the Father's longing to change and transform. And so if He said that if we don't choose mercy, we won't receive mercy. If we don't choose forgiveness, we won't receive forgiveness. He's not talking to those who don't know him. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to those who know Jesus. One day we will stand before the Father and we will have to account for what we did and didn't do. And in that moment, I want the Father to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you this and you were faithful with it. You honored me. You chose mercy. You chose grace. You chose forgiveness. You chose these things. I want that said about me, but it's going to take us making a choice to live and walk and dwell in his mercy, to receive his mercy. If I can get the worship team to come. In a moment, we will take communion together, but I want you to hear today that there is mercy in the Father. I know that these scriptures can sit so heavily on our hearts that, man, if we don't show forgiveness, we won't be forgiven. Man, if we don't show mercy, we won't receive mercy, and they are heavy. And I don't think Jesus intended them to be light. I think he intended them to be exactly what they are, for us to realize that he has called us to live in mercy so that we can extend mercy, and extend mercy so that we can receive mercy. It's this cycle that goes around the life that he's called us to. But I want you to hear this morning, there is mercy for you. There is mercy in your life. He offers it to you today, whether it's in a relationship, a new relationship in him, whether it's in renewing your relationship with him. Maybe even as you're sitting here this morning, the Holy Spirit, because he's so good at that, because the Lord loves us, maybe the Lord has been bringing someone across your mind that you've not been merciful. Maybe there is something, a habit that you have that is not shining mercy in your life at all, and the Father wants to transform that. Guys, God does not want us just to stay how we are, but he also doesn't want us to try and fix it. He wants us to come to him so that he can transform our lives, so that mercy can flow in us and through us.
Thank you for listening to the Neighborhood Misawa's Sermon Podcast. If you need prayer, email us at neighborhoodmisawa@gmail.com or online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.